Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Welcome in to Food Time, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show, the award-winning All Things Edible program, right every Sunday at this time. Food Time is on the air. And this week, we're going to look back at the best cookbooks of 2015. We do this every once in a while. We do a little recap of some of the new cookbooks that are out there. They're coming out all the time. Some of them I find are pretty rehash, same topics as other cookbooks, slightly repackaged, slightly new recipes, but there are some fairly innovative things that come out each year as well. And joining us for the recap this year, in fact, she did a great piece on the Daily Meal .com is Daily Meal editor Angela Carlos. Angela, hi. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's nice to have you with us here. So when you look at, putting together a best cookbooks of the year, what are the kinds of things that you're looking for?
There were so many great books that came out this year, and it was pretty difficult to whittle it down to 10. So what we looked for to narrow that list down was kind of some basic overarching themes that we saw. And, we were looking for quality, of course, and originality, because with so many books being published these days by, anyone who's picked up a knife writes a cookbook, you're really looking for something a little different, a book that offers a little more to its readers than all the other ones out there.
Yeah, so, if I get one more cookbook of, five ingredients to make a great meal.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like those, there must be 50 books like that, five ingredients. And that's great, but, it becomes so repetitive after a while. You look for something that's innovative, something that's different, if you're a cookbook fan, as I am.
Exactly. And you're looking for kind of that, eye-catching, draw you in from the moment, and then you want that book to live up to its cover. What inside matters just as much as what's on the outside, if not more, really. So this year we definitely noticed that there was a huge push for seasonal cooking, local ingredients, cooking with fresh produce, getting out to your farmer's market and, knowing what's going into your food, which has been a pretty common theme running through the food industry as a whole the past year. So we looked for books like that, but also we noticed that there was a huge memoir-like quality in a lot of these books. They were meant to be cooked with, but also they kind of told a bigger story about how the author's relationship with food developed and what their passion comes from. And so, they read as much like memoirs as they did instructional manuals.
What about celebrity chefs in cookbooks? Are they trading pretty much just off their names on your list of the 10 best, or have some of those celebrity chefs really delivered the goods in their new cookbooks?
I think they have delivered the goods. I think especially you take Essential Emeril, we kind of get a different side of Emeril. It's a little more about how he really got into cooking and not just the Food Network celebrity that we've seen in the past. So you get more than you get from the cooking shows with these books.
I know I see Jacques Pepin is on your list. I don't know how many books that he must have out, but I didn't see his new one, Heart and Soul in the Kitchen. What does he still have left to tell us? he must have 30 cookbooks or something by now.
Oh yes, he is definitely a whole a whole bookshelf worth of cookbooks. But, his name does draw you in to begin with, but this book kind of tied into his, like, final PBS series that he was doing, so it sort of had a sentimental value to it. And he kind of shows, like, a softer side of maybe a more ideal for the home cook, not so elaborate, not always so French in this book. So it kind of it had its own unique quality that's why it ended up on the list.
Okay. All right. So let's start. Shall we start at number 10 and kind of work our way down a little bit?
Sure. And this list wasn't really meant to be ranked so much as it was just kind of an
a collection of 10.
Exactly.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
We can start at we can start with Zahav at the bottom and work our way back up.
Yeah, either way. You know what I'm looking at? Because I can't walk past a barbecue cookbook without stopping and, you know, seeing what's new, seeing what their style is, what their technique is. And we've definitely got one of those on your list of the best cookbooks of 2015.
Yes, Franklin Barbecue. So it definitely has everything you kind of want about Central Texas barbecue, that brisket tradition. But, Aaron Franklin makes a big effort there to tell you that, you know, this is a book about the way he does barbecue. It's not supposed to be so technical necessarily, but it does kind of unwind it. Because, I mean, I don't know how many people really sit in their backyards with a giant smoker tending your fires all day, but this book actually makes it a little more accessible that if you really want to smoke meat, like, you can after reading this book, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, I think more and more people are doing that right now. It seems like a massive thing, but it's becoming much more accessible to people now with this new big green egg. Is that what it's called?
The green egg.
Like these super cookers, smokers that, more and more people are getting so they can do exactly, you know, that and, you know, smoke their own meats and so forth. Is this Aaron Franklin from Franklin Barbecue? Is this a famous restaurant in Texas? Not familiar with it.
Yes, it is a famous barbecue restaurant, and it's kind of, you know, he's a little bit younger, so it's not... it's a little, kind of has like a young hip out edge to it. And, it's one of those restaurants you line up for. So,
okay. All right.
Certainly it has for the cult barbecue people. They definitely recognize it.
Okay.
Want to learn.
Tell me about another of the books, on your best of 2015, The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science.
Yes. So he is he works at Serious Eats, which is another food website. And he's known for being very scientific about the way he cooks. And I think that's what made this book probably one of my favorites this year. It's huge. It's like an encyclopedia. I mean, it's for like someone who's really serious into cooking and you want to sit down with it and study it. And it really dives into not just how to cook something the best way, but why that method works. So if you've ever wondered why you sear meat, like, you will know the scientific reason by the end of this book. And I mean, I know I used it to cook my Thanksgiving turkey this year, and it was the best I'd ever cooked. So
you used science to cook your Thanksgiving turkey this year?
Yes, he has a method in there. It's a reverse searing. So it's the opposite of what you've always been taught to do.
What do you do?
Yeah, you cook it low instead of searing it really fast off the top. And so you cook it at a really low temperature. You're not going to see necessarily that perfect golden skin right off the bat. But then at the very end, you sear it and it keeps all the juices in and gets you that crispy skin that you're looking for.
Wow. So, not to put you on the spot for details on this, but like how many degrees and for how long? I would think that it has to be, you know, like maybe in the 150s, 170s, something like that for how many hours?
Yeah, it's in the 200, I think 200 degrees is the recommended temperature. And obviously depending on your turkey size, but I believe for mine, it was about 4 hours for a 16 pound turkey. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. But super moist though, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. better living through science, as we've heard so many times.
Right?
Let me take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about the best cookbooks of 2015. It's an article that you can see on thedailymeal.com/cook/best-cookbooks-2015. Thedailymeal.com, if you want to just check out the site for tons of great culinary articles and recipes. More with their editor, Angela Carlos, when we come back on WGN. Steen Richards, our Food Time show, is on the air at 312-981-7200. If you're looking for a certain kind of cookbook, maybe we can help you here today. Daily Meal editor Angela Carlos is on the line. She has put together, along with the folks at thedailymeal.com, the best cookbooks of 2015. Maybe you're searching out for a particular kind of cookbook. Might be able to send you in the right directions. Angela, I wanted to talk to you about more of the books on the best of list, including this, what sounds like a fantastic vegetable cookbook, Michael Anthony's V is for Vegetables.
Yes, we actually got to talk to Michael Anthony after he wrote the book and kind of interview him about, you know, his process and what he was thinking. He is the head chef and co-owner of Gramercy Tavern in New York City, which, you know, has been kind of an iconic New York restaurant for many years now. And this book deviates a lot from the cookbook he's put out in the past, Gramercy Tavern cookbook. It's definitely much more geared towards the home cook and goes through and kind of chronicles vegetables alphabetically, making it really easy for the user with beautiful illustrations and pictures. And, you know, he tells you how to use, you know, everything from very common vegetables like a carrot to, you know, Jerusalem artichoke, which is, I don't know, something that most people don't cook with every day.
Do you remember any particular, you know, recipe in there, vegetable recipe in there that struck you?
You know, mostly more than just a particular recipe, I think it's the attention to detail he pays to the process of breaking down the vegetables. He treats them not just as like a side dish, but something you can actually serve as a main course, which is fairly unusual. But, you know, in addition, you know, he has wonderful quiches, wheat quiches, tarts. You know, he kind of takes even like the simple omelet and uses garlic scraps to bring out the flavor and make it, you know.
Yeah, and as people are, you know, trying to, people seem to be going a little more meatless these days, this might be a good option for them. Another book on your best of 2015 is called The Four Seasons of Pasta. Now, see here, this is where my red flag goes up, because, you know, it just seems like, you know, people are, they'll just write anything to put out another pasta cookbook. Obviously, they're very popular, but clearly you guys like this one.
Yes. You know, Nancy and Sarah Jenkins are a mother-daughter duo, and, you know, her daughter owns a pretty successful restaurant in New York City, and the mother, you know, they grew up in Italy, they lived in Italy, so they definitely know Mediterranean cuisine very, you know, from living it and eating it every day. But what makes this pasta book different, I guess, is kind of less that it wants viewers to understand that pasta is not something you just toss a sauce and call at the end of the day, but that you can actually cook seasonally. And again, it kind of hits that note of seasonality and thinking about your sauces and that not all sauce goes with every type of pasta.
Are there, you know, is it a certain kind of, you know, region of Italy from which their recipes come, or is it pretty spread out?
It's a bit spread out. I think there's a lot of Roman influence, but they also stress kind of an idea that I didn't necessarily know, that, you know, dried pasta, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not any less authentic than making fresh pasta. In fact, most Italians eat dried pasta.
Okay, I'm just looking at some of the recipes in here. a mezze rigatoni with swordfish and black olives. That sounds really good. Looks like there might be a little mozzarella in there, maybe. Swordfish and black olives, and it looks like a
kind of like a niçoise, but in Italian form.
Yeah. Oven roasted pasta with oven roasted Romanesco cauliflower. Wow, that sounds really good. So yeah, it looks like some exceptional recipes, and you know everyone's favorite vegetable these days, the Brussels sprout. Here's a panette recipe with Brussels sprouts and pancetta. That sounds like a really good combination. So take a look for that cookbook if you're a pasta fan, The Four Seasons of Pasta from Nancy Harmon and Sarah Jenkins. Take a look at this whole list, the best cookbooks of 2015. It's at thedailymeal.com. Angela Carlos, one of their editors, we appreciate you joining us, Angela. Thank you so much. I hope we can talk to you again sometime.
Thank you for having me.